Macmillan Audio presents The Deviant's War, The Homosexual versus the United States of America by Eric Cervini. Read for you by Vikas Adam. Introduction. The Ritual. It began, as usual, in a public restroom. For 10 years, Laud Humphreys of Oklahoma had been an Episcopal priest, but now he watched the silent choreography of the men. As always, the ritual of a men's room, or tea room, functioned somewhat like a game. Positioning, signaling, contracting, payoff. Standing, looking, touching, fellatio. Like the smell of urine, fear pervades the atmosphere of the tea rooms, making furtive every stage of the interaction, Humphreys later wrote. But if all went well, the ritual concluded with an adjustment of the pants and a zip of the fly. A shoulder pat, a hand wave, or a quiet thanks. Nobody hurt, nobody offended. In 1966, as a doctoral student in sociology at Washington University in St. Louis, Humphreys had initiated his research in the city's public park restrooms. Married with 2 children, he developed a novel method to conceal his identity as a researcher and earn the trust of the sexual deviants. He adopted the role of the watch queen, or a voyeur lookout, who guarded the men from non-participants and police officers. If someone approached, he coughed. If the coast was clear, he nodded. By passing as a deviant, I had observed their sexual behavior without disturbing it, explained the sociologist. Over the course of 2 years, he observed hundreds of sexual acts, taking notes with a hidden tape recorder. The next step in his methodology contributed most to the controversy that surrounded the publication of his findings. Humphreys also followed the men to their cars, recorded their license plate numbers, and then carried that information to a police station. There, after Humphreys claimed to be performing market research, friendly officers gave him the names and addresses of the men. He waited a year, then changed his dress, hairstyle, and car. He traveled to the men's homes, rang their doorbells, and said he was a social health researcher. While sitting in their living rooms or drinking beer on their patios, he asked the men about their lives. Over half of them, he learned, were married to women. The rest, even if they identified as gay, saw tea rooms as safe havens. After all, where else could they go to meet others like themselves? In mid-century America, gay bars were perilous places. The police could raid them at any moment. Patrons risked being identified by co-workers, neighbors, or even the Federal Bureau of Investigation. At home, roommates or landlords were watching. Sometimes, police officers used telephoto lenses or high-powered binoculars to catch acts of sodomy or lewd conduct. The names, addresses, and occupations of those arrested for homosexual activity often appeared in the next day's newspaper, which exposed their deviancy to families and employers. 6 arrested in perversion case here, read one typical headline. A seaman, 25, of McAllister Street. An auto agency clerk, 27, of Clay Street. A musician, 36, of Taylor Street. A drama coach, 23, of 7th Avenue. A photo refinisher, 43, of Laurel Street. After World War II, homosexual arrests, including those for sodomy, dancing, kissing, or holding hands, occurred at the rate of 1 every 10 minutes, each hour, each day, for 15 years. In sum, 1 million citizens found themselves persecuted by the American state for sexual deviation. Men unable to risk identification had only the public restroom, a space both public and private. When an intruder, a policeman or an unsuspecting passerby, interrupted the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?